stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 64. And our guest today has been described as charismatic, energetic, and caring. Principal at Cranberry Prosperity Elementary, Miss Alicia Lett. Pleased to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We're going to do things just a little different today. I'm going to give you, since you're an educator, we're going to give you a little test. I'm going to give you three clues, and it was an event you participated in. And after the three clues, you're going to tell me what the event was.
Okay.
And the first clue was you were very young. Second clue was it was a dress-up affair. And the third clue, Carmen Nicola.
I was in her wedding. I was the flower girl in her wedding when I was 5 years old.
You got that right. 100%. How old were you?
Five.
Five.
Five
and
or
she's
six,
your
I
aunt?
Think.
Or
mm-hmm. She's my aunt. She's my mom's sister.
Okay. Well, you did very good. Now, you grew up around Eccles, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I grew up in Eccles. I lived right above Eccles Produce Market.
My grandparents.
Yeah, my grandparents owned it.
Is that true?
Vincent and Rosa Nicola. And then Carmen took it over. And then we sold it to Eugene and Peggy Kanjimi after that. But I grew up right on top of the hill above that. I walked down that hill every day to catch the bus.
So are you related to Frank?
No. He was a little further into Eccles.
Oh, okay.
His business that he had was a little further down.
I see. Yeah, we had, when I was working construction with David Hill, we poured a basement for him. He built a nice house up
yes.
behind there.
Yeah, and it was beautiful.
And he used to have a softball team in, mm-hmm. in the league. He played and sponsored one. But so did you go to Eccles Elementary?
I did. I went to Eccles Elementary, yes.
And it went to the 8th grade.
When I was there, it went to the 6th grade. But that was because they had just built the, what's now the old Trap Hill. They had built that, and just a couple years before, they started sending 7th and 8th grade to Trap Hill. So I went kindergarten through 6th at Eccles.
Now, Leonard Sims wasn't down there then, was he?
No, he wasn't. My principals were Danny Petrie and Charlotte Hutchins was my principal, yes.
Well, I went to school. Danny was a year ahead of me at Woodrow, and I went to school with him. Now, when you were in, did you play sports in middle school?
I played basketball and softball in middle school and high school.
Who was your coach in middle school?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
How about high school?
Well, Andy Holland was my coach my freshman year. And then after that, it was Charles Kuhn, and he coached my sophomore, junior, and senior years.
Yeah, Charlie and I went to Morse Harvey together. And I think we graduated from down there about the same time. And I think he coached volleyball. And
yeah, he coached a lot of stuff.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
He was an old Chetty Spring boy, actually. Your mom and dad, your dad, what did he do for
you? My dad was a coal miner.
Coal miner.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still alive?
No, he isn't. He passed away about 15 years ago, I think.
Oh.
So.
Is your mom still?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
she
lives
still
on Johnstown Road.
House?
No, she lives on Johnstown Road. She moved. She worked for my aunt, Carmen, and her business was on Eisenhower Drive. And so my mom lived on Johnstown Road after my parents got divorced. And then, so that's where she lived. So.
Now, when you got in high school, did you participate in anything else besides basketball and softball? Did you play softball in high school too?
I did. I was in gymnastics when I was young. I quit my freshman year in high school and placed 8th in the state overall. my freshman year in high school for the state of West Virginia.
That was through Beckley Gymnastics.
Yes, Bev Mangum was my coach there. Yeah. And it's Dreama McNeil now, but yes.
And some of the other girls that were on that in that group was Destiny Rhodes,
yes.
and Heather Patton. And I remember they had a picture of you guys in the newspaper. You guys were pretty good. In high school, was there any particular teachers that might have had a real impact?
I had some wonderful teachers. I went to Liberty High School, and some of the most phenomenal teachers there that really helped me get ready for college. Kathy Akerd was my biology teacher. She was amazing. But probably the one who had the most impact on me is Charlene Hart. And I had her for every math class, 9th through 12th grade. And my dad and my mom both had taken a class or two in college, but never, you know, graduated with a degree or went to college. And so she really just made me believe that I could go to college and do something. And she was tragically killed in an accident a few years after I graduated from high school, maybe college. I mean, she gave me her home phone number. I would call and talk to her when I was struggling. She just really cared about us, and she just wanted the best for us. She could have taught. She was so smart, such a genius. She could have taught at any college or university and left us behind. And I asked her one time, why do you teach here? I mean, gosh, it's Liberty High School. We're in Glendaniel. There's nothing around here. She drove probably 45 minutes to get to work every day. And she said, well, you know what? She said, when you guys learn it and that light bulb comes on, that's why I teach. I love that. You all are hungry to learn, and that's what I live for. So she's amazing.
And you guys, you were part of a group that honored her later, weren't you?
Yes. Two of my classmates that I graduated with, Heath Bailey, who's a local dentist now, and Stephen Bradshaw, he now lives in Atlanta, Georgia. But the three of us established the Charlene Hart Memorial Scholarship. And every year at Liberty High School, they give that out. And it's $1,500 a year for a student. And our criteria is it's got to be a student that we think Ms. Hart would have loved and enjoyed teaching.
So you guys, it's a donor designated. You pick out who it is. That's
yes.
good. That's good. Now, you you played basketball, and you say that you weren't that good. But, I mean, I think your senior year, I think you guys won 8 or 9 ball games.
We did, finally, yes.
And you actually were pretty good. You played double figures most of the time. And I know that there were several games that you were in the 20s and 30s scoring, and you were all tournament, your sectional tournament, your senior year, so it wasn't too bad.
No, not too bad.
Not too bad. And
I played with a lot of great athletes. We had a lot of fun, but we had a lot of really good athletes on that team.
Rachel Farr,
yes,
was one of them, and she... Rachel, it was Rachel Gwynn now, I guess.
Yeah, or Rachel Goodwin. And
Goodwin,
she had a
I'm
twin
sorry.
Sister, Sarah. They both played.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were great.
Yeah, Rachel was a student teacher of mine. She had done some work, I think, with her husband when he was in the service in California. So she had worked with kids before. And so when she was a little older than the average college student when she came back to Beckley. And she was my student teacher, and I just turned it over to her. She was better than I was, and I let her have the class till it was over.
Yeah. Well, the best part is she teaches at Beckley Stratton Middle School now, and she's a special ed teacher. So some of our students, when they move to Beckley Stratton, are her students. And it just makes me feel so good to know they're in her hands, because
yeah.
she is amazing, absolutely amazing.
She is. And and Sarah, her sister, and they had a brother that was a good athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good. I think he might have played college ball at Bluefield State, maybe. He was a good baseball player, I think.
He could do anything. He was. He came to one of my wrestling camps, and he'd wrestled 1 year. And then the next year he played basketball instead of wrestling, and then football.
He was a very good athlete, too. They all were.
Yeah.
And they have an older sister named Amy, and she was several years ahead of me. But I remember when we played, she might have been a senior when we were a freshman, but she played basketball as well. All good athletes. And softball, all of them played softball.
And some of the other teammates you had, Teresa Long, Kathy Aker, there was a lot of them. But what kind of music did you listen to back then?
Well,
did you listen to any?
Bon Jovi and Journey, those were the two big. I enjoyed both of them. I love Motown, so even back then I would listen to Motown music, but a lot of those big hair bands. I remember on the basketball bus, they'd fire up Poison. That was their choice to listen to on that basketball bus, and I was never a huge fan of them, but that's what we listened to, those big hair bands.
Well, I'm a big Motown person myself. I grew up in East Beckley, and that's all we listened to, and I just heard the other day that they're going to have the regatta again in Charleston, and it's going to be the last week of June and up through July 4th, and they're having the big free bands back like they used to have, and they're going to be playing on stage out on the street, and of course it's not the original Four Tops or the Temptations, but it's still, yeah, it'll be close enough for me, so we might head down that direction. Now, when you graduated from high school, you went to Marshall, and what did you study there?
Well, when I went there, I had thought I wanted to be a pharmacist, so I was in pre-pharmacy, and then I realized I hated science classes, so I got a job as a resident advisor my sophomore year there, and one of my friends, Tracy Morris, who was a RA at the same time, she was a journalism major, and she decided she was going to change her major to speech pathology. So I went along with her because afterwards we were going to go eat. They were having like all you could eat wings or something for a certain price across the street. So food was a big motivator at that point because we were poor college kids. So I went with her to change her major to speech pathology. And while I was there, I decided that sounded good and I changed my major to that too. So I graduated with a bachelor's degree and master's degree in communication disorders from Marshall.
And when you got out of Marshall, did you come right back to Raleigh County?
No, actually I lived in Ashland, Kentucky. I did my graduate school. My internship was with the Geiger Easter Seals Society. So we serviced hospitals, home health. We had a clinic. We did all different kinds of speech therapy. And so I stayed with them. And then I helped open a rehab unit in a nursing home in Elliott County, Kentucky. And then after that, I moved back to Ashland and worked in the nursing homes for a little while. And then I met my husband there, and he and his parents wanted to open a business here in Beckley. So we moved back to Beckley and got married and been here ever since.
Now, he was from West Hamlin or somewhere.
He was from Doddridge County.
And what was he doing in the nursing? Was he working in a nursing home?
He worked for, I don't remember the name of the business he worked for. He's an orthotist prosthetist. And so right now he owns West Virginia Orthotic and Prosthetic Center. And his grandfather did that, his dad, one of his uncles. So it's been a family business. And his dad and mom both worked in there. They've been retired, I think, for maybe 3 years now, and they moved to Tennessee. But Alan still runs that business.
So did you start to work with the Raleigh County schools then?
No, I worked as a rehab coordinator for Genesis Elder Care in a couple of the nursing homes around here. And then when we had our daughter in 2000, I went part-time. And so when she was old enough to go to preschool, I kind of thought, I don't want her to be in daycare year-round once she gets out of school for the summer. So I applied for a job with Raleigh County Schools then and got hired in 2002 as a speech therapist. And so my first few years, I was low man on the totem pole, so I got to drive all over Raleigh County, and I had four or five schools that I would help with or see the students there. And then I finally got my own school at Sophia Soap Creek and had our son during that time. I was the speech pathologist at Shady Elementary for probably 6 years, I guess, from the time my daughter was in kindergarten till the time she left there. And then a few years after that, I became principal at Cranberry in 2012.
Now, you had a son there around 2005.
Yes.
And so that's kind of an unusual path to go from speech pathologist to administrator.
Yeah, it is.
No classroom, no assistant.
Right.
Nothing. I mean, that's pretty monumental.
Well, when I was a speech therapist, I had a good friend, Peggy Datsko, and she was getting ready to retire. And I said, Peggy, if you could give any advice to a speech therapist like me who's kind of new, what advice would you give me? And she said, have a plan B. And she said, I really wish I would have done something else, had a backup degree so I could have maybe done something else, moved up in administration or something. And I said, well, that's great advice. Thank you. Well, I never intended to take that advice. And then one of the teachers at Shady Elementary, she was like, I'm taking these principal's classes. Why don't you take them with me? And I'm like, well, why not? Peggy had said this. Maybe this is God. Just lead me in that direction. So I took the classes with her and then got a job shortly after that, after we finished.
Now, when you went to Cranberry Prosperity, the first thing, the building was old.
Yes.
It's been there as long as I can remember. Then you were kind of innovative. When did you get involved with the seven habits of...
My first year as principal, I was miserable. And I really didn't want to stay there. Really? I really had thought about quitting altogether. And so I would cry every day on the way to work, and I would talk to God, and I would say, you know, I know you don't make mistakes, but I think maybe you did. And if you just fix this, I will never tell anybody. It'll be our secret. And then, I, looking back on it, I can see how he had his hand on everything that I did. And shortly, you know, it was kind of in the spring of my first year of being principal, I got a call from the superintendent, and he was like, do you want to go to this conference? And I said, yes. And he goes, well, you don't even know what it is. And I said, I don't really care. I just want to get out of the building. Am I going to be out of the building? And he said, yes. So it was a conference, principal's conference with Muriel Summers in Kentucky. Well, Muriel Summers has kind of revolutionized the leader in me. It was kind of her creation, and based on the seven habits of highly effective people, she took it back to North Carolina and implemented it at her elementary school, A.B. Combs. And so I had read a book about her, and I was excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll get to hear her speak. Well, when I get there, I decided I'd go to the restroom before the event started, and I look, and here she comes. She's standing next to me in line. And, you know, I was just kind of speechless because I don't know. I'd read that book about her, and she was just amazing. And she was like, hello, I'm Muriel Summers. And I'm thinking, no kidding. And I said, well, hi, I'm Alicia Lett. And we chatted, and she's very familiar with West Virginia and asked me if I knew certain people. And I said, yes. And then she said, well, where are you? And I said, Cranberry. She goes, oh, I bet you love it. I said, no, I hate it. I'm quitting after this year. I'm not going to do this again. And she said, now, Alicia, you are going to be a great principal. And we're going to talk this weekend. And you're going to be a great principal. I just know it in my heart. And I thought, well, okay. That was very sweet of her to say. But as busy as she is and as famous as she is, who would have time to do that for somebody that she doesn't even know? And so throughout those 2 days of that conference, every time we had a table activity or small group activity, she would come and get me and spend time talking to me and encouraging me and giving me strategies to use to be better. And I had taken the book that I'd read and asked her to sign it for me. And she wrote, you will be an amazing principal. And I still have that book. This is my 10th year as principal, and I still have that book. And I'm blessed enough that she's one of my good friends. I mean, we text and we check up on each other, and she's still just as encouraging. And now she works for Franklin Covey, who heads up Leader in Me. But the second year that we were there, I kind of spilled my guts to the staff that it was something I wanted to pursue, and they were all on board. So we applied for a grant through the I Am a Leader Foundation, and that's through Panda Express Restaurants. And so it was an $85,000 grant. I'll never forget that, because that's how much it cost to implement that program the first year. And so we had to do a book study. We had to work pretty much the whole school year to get ready to submit that grant. And it was due, I'll never forget, it was due at December 31st by midnight that year. And I remember sitting in my office on December 31st at 11:30 at night, terrified to press that submit button because I wanted it so bad. And so I did, and then we had to wait. We had to wait till like April to find out, and we got that grant. And so that helped us start, and we've been doing it. This is our 7th year as a Leader in Me school, and it's been fabulous.
Now, when a new teacher starts at your school, how do you orient them into the program?
Well, every teacher that teaches at Cranberry goes through the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People training, so you're familiar with that. And then... we try to, the best thing about Cranberry is we truly are like a family. And so everybody just jumps in to help, to teach the things that we do. And honestly, if you're just there for a few days and you see it happening, it's not something that we do 20 minutes a day that's on a lesson plan. It's not, you know, anything that is just a period of the day. It's just a way of life. And you'll hear the language throughout the school, like be proactive and synergize. And so those new teachers are kind of trial by fire when they get in there. You know, they just kind of are immersed in it and they pick up on it very quickly. And we do different trainings with Franklin Covey. They come in and do those for us. And then we do staff refreshers and trainings as well to keep everybody up to date and just on the same page.
I had taken a, I didn't know what I was getting into, but I took a class at Marshall one summer, and I was just needing 3 hours, and it ended up being a class, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And Rick Shoup, who was ended up at Independence,
yes.
And Judy Thomas, who had been at Beckley Stratton, took the class with us. We actually rode together, and I think, and it was one of the best classes I've ever had. I love the instructor, and I think Judy went on afterwards and took the training to become a presenter or a coordinator. But it was really. I look forward to going to class every day.
It is good.
It was a bunch of fun. But I know that since you've been involved, the school was being very proactive in the thought process. You've had less discipline problems and things like that. But can we briefly describe, like, for instance, be proactive? What is that?
Well, it's the way we present it to the kids is you need to prepare yourself for what you think is coming. So you can control yourself. You know, like, one of the things we tell them is you can get your everything ready for school the night before you go to bed. So really, it's just planning ahead and being ready.
Begin with the end in mind.
That's one of my favorites because I was in one of our preschool rooms when they were talking about the habits, and they asked, you know, what is habit two? And one of the little girls in there said, begin at the end of your mind. And I said, girl, I do that every day. I begin at the end of my mind every day. But one of the examples that we use is when the kids want to try out for sports and they want to play basketball. Well, you know that your ultimate goal is to be on the basketball team. So beginning with that in mind, what can you do? You can practice, you can go to camps, you can, you know, do things like that to get ready, but you have that end in mind at the beginning. So you have your goal set. And it's all about goal setting. And we teach the kids at school, we call them WIGs, wildly important goals. And they set a personal goal, a personal WIG, and an academic WIG. And all of the staff has a WIG that they post and they track so the kids can see it, and they hold you accountable. They don't let you slack off. So if you're not going to be able to do it, don't post it because the kids will get you.
What about the put first things first?
A lot like be proactive, but it's more put first things first, do your work first, and then you can play.
Yeah.
You know, we encourage the kids to do that.
And the fourth habit is think win-win.
That one's a hard one to teach because kids like to do, they like to be right. They want things their way. And so this is teaching compromise. And, you know, if another student wants to do it one way and you want to do it a different way, how can you meet in the middle and compromise and work as a team? So it's all about teamwork.
And seek first to understand, then to be understood.
That piece is hard even for adults because you have to learn to be a good listener. So you have to listen to understand instead of listening to respond. And so that one's a tough one for a lot of people, but it does help. We've learned a lot with that habit.
And a lot of adults can take that advice.
Yeah. I
mean, they're sitting, when you're talking to them, they're usually thinking what they're going to
exactly.
say instead of listening to what you're going to say. Synergize, number six.
Work together as a team.
And number seven, I kind of like this one, sharpen the saw.
Yeah, that's our favorite one. That's to take care of yourself. Renew mind, body, spirit, and heart. And so find something that you can do that's good for you that helps you refresh and renew and be ready to go again the next day.
We have a color commentator here, Diana Bennett. You've been in this program, haven't you?
Yes.
And what do you think?
I loved it. Still do, you know. I go into the school I know what to expect. You'll always know it. It's like riding a bike.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
so true.
And you just know the lingo, and you have to walk the walk, though. You can't just talk it. I tell the kids that all the time. You know, you might say, you know, synergize or think win-win, but you got to walk through it and do it, you know. Yeah, I love it. I love the program. I think it's good.
Well, that's probably my favorite thing is it's not just something that they'll use in elementary school. It's lifelong. You can ask any staff member, like Diana said, it will stay with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a life changer. It's been a life changer for me, I feel like for our staff, for our students, because it teaches you life skills. These are skills that you'll use all through middle school, high school, college, adulthood. And, you know, some of our students go to, our feeder school is Beckley Stratton. Uh-huh. And I've had a couple of the teachers there say, we always know when they're cranberry kids because they come and they're ready and they know how to be organized and they know how to change classes and things. So that's a great compliment, I think, to the work we do there.
You think there's a chance that Raleigh County will incorporate the whole program?
I would hope. I know we do have another school in Raleigh County who's got on board, and that's Marshwork Elementary. So I'm hoping that, you know, as it gets more popular and people see the greatness in it, that they'll be anxious to get on board as well.
When you were off during the pandemic and some people were doing things virtually, and how did that affect the program?
Well, it just made us think about how to deliver it differently. And so when the teachers, we were at the school because we were remote, so everybody was there. So we just took turns. We recorded a lot of read-alouds. We recorded science projects. Our innovation teacher had all these little activities they could do. We did clubs virtually. Belinda Harvey did a cooking club, and they would get on the team's meeting with her, and they would have their stuff, and they would cook. And Miss Griffith, my PE teacher, and I, we have the best sense of humor, I think, of anybody in the school. So we decided we would try our hand at making some videos. So we did a nature walk, and we did a wig video where we wore wigs and talked about the importance of goals. And so you would always hear the Seven Habits language and what we did, regardless of what it was. But we had a good time. We were innovative, and I think Raleigh County as a whole did a great job.
Well, you have to be innovative in a situation like that. Now, you've been several characters over the years. Cat in the Hat, and what was your favorite character?
Well, I have two. I loved being Thor. I was Thor, and I had the big muscle costume on and the blonde wig and the hammer. And I would terrorize one of the teachers, Steffi Gerald, with that hammer all day. I'd sneak up on her and slam it against something, and she'd scream. And then my other one was, I'm a huge Yoda fan. Like, I love Yoda. So I just ordered the custodian this big wheel, like, cart, this wagon, that he could put all of the trash bags in and take them out all at one time. So I ordered it, and we got it in right in time for Halloween. So I dressed up as the Mandalorian, and Miss Griffith was a baby Yoda, and I pushed her around in that big wagon all day.
Personally, what is on your bucket list?
Well, the big thing on my bucket list that I'm going to get to do in July is Lisa Griffith, my best friend, surprised me for my birthday and got me tickets to see Priscilla Shire. And I've always wanted to see her. I just love her Bible studies, and I love videos of her. And I've always wanted to see her live and in person. And so that's coming up, and I'm excited about that. And then the other big thing on my bucket list that I'd like to do before I die is visit Israel and just, you know, see the tomb and be baptized in the Jordan River and things like that. But,
well, I know you've been active in the your church faith community, and you were recently baptized there. How long have you been at the church there?
We started going there, I think, when my son was maybe seven or eight, and he's 17 now, so 8 or 9 years, I would say. And I was baptized when I was in high school. We've been at Faith, and our son was baptized when he was maybe 5 or 6, but he was terrified of water. He didn't like water in his face, so he asked if he could wear goggles. So the first time he got baptized, he wore goggles, and we were at Memorial Baptist Church. But he's very active in the youth group at Faith, and my son's name's AJ, and he's one of the student youth group leaders, and we love Pastor Reed Hobdy, and he's the youth pastor there, and he has really kind of had a big influence on AJ. And AJ came to us and said, you know, I understood the basics of it when I was little, but I really understand it now, and I really want to be baptized again just to show my faith and that I truly do understand it. And so when he said that, as parents, Alan and I were like, you know, we need to take a step back and look at our lives and how we live those and what it means to us. And so we got baptized with him. So
that's great. That's great. Well, Alicia, our time is up.
All right.
It flies when you're having
fun. It does.
I appreciate you coming
well, thank
on.
Thank
you. And we'd like to get you back in the future if you will come back
sure.
and see us.
Sure, absolutely.
And anybody else out there that would like to be on the show, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And we appreciate you. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. God bless you.